down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Yes.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I could be better, thank you, but grateful.
Yes.
I hope you are well.
It's amazing the number of women that I'm hearing call this calling program now.
Well,
what do you think is causing that?
Well, this is my first time calling.
Yes, what caused you to do so?
Because I'm in a situation which is totally exhausting and stressful, and all I have tried for the last 3 years or so to get it resolved by going through all the proper channels I've been shut into, nothing has done. Sir, I was partially paralyzed 10 years ago through the negligence of nurses at the QE when I was giving birth to my last child.
Wow.
Right? Luckily, the baby was okay. He is about to be 10 this year, thank God. With all, by the grace of God, I was able to regain my mobility. But I currently suffer from arthritis in all my injury sites. My pubic bone was broken. My spine was curved, and I had bone, nerve, muscle, and tissue damage to my left leg, right, and my back. As I said, thank God, I'm able to walk again.
How old were you then?
I was 35.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now, I also have another son who is older than the last one, obviously. Now, sir, I'm now a client of the welfare because when that happened to me, about 9 months later, my husband died, leaving me with the baby then who had just turned 2 and my older son who had just turned 6. Now, as you could understand, with the only breadwinner gone, it was extremely hard. Sir, would you believe from then till now, it has been nothing but pure hell for me. My older son, he has gone to secondary school, and he was bullied at 2 of the secondary schools and seriously injured. The first one he went to, he was struck in his lower back with a cricket bat. And my son had soft tissue damage to his lower back. And I was also made aware that his liver and spleen became enlarged as a result of the blow he received. He spent 6 months at home. The day that injury was delved upon him, no one called me. That happened around 11:30, which was their lunchtime. Nobody called me until 2:45 the evening. And my son had been vomiting. I had diarrhea for the entire day.
How long ago was that?
This is now 3 years ago, 3 going 4 years
what
ago.
What is this situation now?
Right now, well, allow me to go on and then I can tell
okay.
you that. I got him transferred to another school closer to me, where I thought it would have been a lot better. Sir, they beat my son every single day. It was so bad. We are not Muslims, but he wore his tabs. My sons wear their tabs as part of our religious practice. My head is tied. They beat my child every single day. When I went to the school, sometimes the headmaster would pretend he didn't know what happened with all. I was made to understand he was witness to some of the incidents. My son ended up, one of the children pulled a 10-inch chef knife on him and told him that for every day he does not bring money for him, he's going to continue to add up. Well, I cannot explain to you, sir, how I felt about that. I went to the police. I have 4 police reports in the station for that boy. I also had a police I tried to make a police report in the station for the first incident. And that was only done, the first incident was, I was only able to make a report a year later because the officer who was in dealing with the school refused to take a report from me. Upon going with these second matters, not the second school, because my son is not the fighting type. See, he's well-spoken and, you know, he conducts himself in a proper manner. He was the victim of bullying. The boy that pulled the 10-inch chef knife on him, as I said, all the others, they beat my child every day.
Okay.
And it was so bad that the schools...
Look, the question I have to ask you, because this seems to be a litany of woes.
Okay.
And I want to find out from you, as far as your son is concerned, what is the situation now? Is he still
at school? He's at a different school.
Is he suffering from bullying there too?
No, thank God not, because one of the private schoolmasters was kind enough to enter him into his school.
So there is a different...
And he knows that...
His situation has improved a lot.
In terms of the schooling, yes. Fine. But I'm still suffering, I'm still having the after effects to deal with his, the injuries he received from the bullying, the different matters of bullying.
What are these after effects?
Okay, as I said, his liver and spleen were enlarged.
So you're having to pay for medical attention?
To a point, because I have to, there are still certain medications that I have to buy for him, which the QH does not supply. He was also, when they sent him to... he had a broken arm also as a result of the bullying, and that he had complications, and so I had to pay for other medications as well as other treatments to help him.
The net effect of all of this on you is?
Financially, I am a client of welfare where they give me $300 every 2 weeks. Well, I should say $612 is supposed to last me for 5 weeks to support me and two children. With this whole litany of doctor's appointments and what's not, my son attends 5 clinics at the hospital. And some months I spend more than $350 in bus fare alone. The officer who was dealing with the matters, I was able to prove to her more than once via the 4 police reports for the children, for the boys, the medic, the hospital cards, everything. And still, nothing has happened.
Do you have a church near you?
Yes, I do. I even gone to the minister as recently as...
The church minister?
No, I went to
the... minister of government?
Yes, the social care.
All right, but my question to you is, I understand the problem with respect to the fact that the money you're getting from welfare is insufficient. This then requires the intervention of someone or some other agency. And this is where, or institution. And churches in your neighborhood play a significant role. They don't shout about it a lot, but very quietly, a lot of the churches go there and support people and find ways and means of trying to give them that kind of assistance. There are a lot of organizations in Barbados as well that are involved in charity work. And there are so many people who would be willing to assist you. Indeed, I have somebody here who has already volunteered. That person says that they need your number.
Okay.
And you can leave your number with the person who took the call from you at the top there.
Thank you.
If there's anybody else out there who would want to make contact with this young lady so that they can assist her, please call us and we will pass the information on to her and bring the two of you into contact with each other. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks, hello?
Yes, Mr. Ellis, good morning.
Hi.
Yes, I'm your first caller speaking about the handing down of the leadership by to Mr. Stroh. I remember a time about when a member of the Barbados Party said that they're going to resign because they can find gainful employment in Barbados, and the then leader of the opposition stepped down. She also speak about the disrespect for the civil servants. I heard a member of the Barbados Party in Parliament saying the police isn't important, and I also heard another member of the Barbados Party lambasting the Customs Department. Now, the lady from St. Lucie wants to find out if all the land in St. Lucie that she talking about overgrown with bush belongs to government, or if any of that land belongs to private people, and if the private people, was their responsibility of the bush in their area, keeping the area clean. Have a good day, sir.
All right, thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks, hello.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
This is your friend Carlos Canterbury, outpatient of the psychiatric hospital, the guy that called you the night the hurricane at 2:30.
I remember.
Now, I have a big problem, sir.
What's
that? I went to the hospital on the 6th of October last year. I was sent there to have X-rays done, I had one extra done. I paid for that. And there was two from the Warren's Clinic. Up to now, from October, I haven't received anything of the extras. Now, I called the hospital yesterday to find out what is the position. I was told that the doctor, which it only comes on Tuesday, from October to now, right? I'm in pain, bad with my right knee, right? On nights or days, I scarcely can walk, right? I suffer from osteoarthritis. I had an operation done on the left knee, knee replacement done, and the foot gone out of shape completely,
wow.
Right? And now the same operation I would like on the right knee, right? But so far, I have heard nothing from the doctor. So I'm waiting on Tuesday to see if I can get on to that doctor. One more thing. I'm not going to hold you up much longer. But I'm going to just answer one question. Do they still have the constituency councils that gets you $1 million per year? Does those still operate, sir?
As far as I know, they still operate.
And there's a lot of money.
And there should be one.
And the ministers that again have to report back to the prime minister or something like it to find out how to spend the money. Something like that.
Well, I don't know that I need to focus on the constituency councils as much as we should be focused on your issue, which is the difficulty that you are facing in getting progress with something that is causing a lot of pain, a physical pain. I remember you the night we had the weather system passing, yes. And you had a most interesting story to tell about the days that you, the early days of having to receive treatment at the mental hospital.
Yes, sir.
And I believe a lot of people might have missed that. So what was that like?
Well, I've been to the psychiatric hospital from 1961. It was going up to this day, up to 5 years ago. And it all started with religion, right? I took it too serious. And I studied, and I remember that my mother gave me my food. I would sit at the door, and the dog, I would give half of everything that is on that plate, in the bowl, rather. I would give the dog half. My mother told me that I have to go to the doctor. She don't like how I get nor that. Miss Williams said she don't like how I get nor when I go to tell the sheep. I went to the doctor, and he ordered some tablets for me. I told my mother that my father's not going to bring these tablets for me. I'm going for them myself. So I went to Nelson in Bear Street, and I asked for one tablet, and I ran towards the carriage. And some people ran behind me and told me not to jump in the carriage. I told them I'm not going to jump in the carriage. So they asked me who I am or who I was. And I told them I'm a Canterbury and my father works not far from here.
The upshot of all of this, though, is that you ended up having to go to the psychiatric hospital in an era when... What they gave you shock treatment, you said?
Yes, sir. I had shock treatment. After I learned it was that, I was very scared of taking it.
Yeah.
Right?
But we're going to try our best, though, to look at the... If you can leave your name and number again with the person who took the call, and we'll see if we can get some update from the Queen Elizabeth Hospital for you and how far you are, how far they are with trying to look after your matter, okay? Now, somebody, you remember this lady called just now about her two boys. And Dennis tells me she called yesterday about the same issue. This person writes, "Hi, good morning. I just listened to the lady who called in. And I would like to caution against providing her with funds until her situation is verified." The person goes on to say that this same lady called me at home. Apparently, she goes through the directory. When I listened and told her that I am willing to meet with her and maybe provide some provisions, food, wise, and clothing if she desires, she said she only wants money and proceeded to give me a number that apparently was not registered I called back. She got quite irate when I told her that I'm willing to assist, but not financially. She stoops and hung up the phone. My neighbor also received one of her calls. She heard the story she gave you guys today. I heard a different story, just as well articulated, but revolving around her dead husband and her cancer-stricken body, with the welfare not being enough. And her one neighbor who used to help her moved away. So the person is saying, just be cautious. And I think there's nothing wrong with you drawing this to our attention, because we don't want to be scammed and we don't want to be a vehicle to encourage people to scam others. The critical issue here is that you need to check it out, verify it, but don't ignore it, because it could also be a situation which is genuine. But check it out, okay? Somebody says here yesterday, the caller talked about two daughters, not two sons. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Mr. Harris?
Yes, welcome.
Good morning. How do you do?
I'm well, and you?
Good, I'm fine. I called to make a very short statement. About two callers before, the gentleman spoke about the water and the road. I want to remind him and remind you too that when Mr. David Thompson took over the government, one of the first increases was water rate by 60%. And that was to repair and replace the pipes that are aging in this country.
Yes.
The next thing about it was the motor car license. I don't know for everybody. My car was $260 a year. It went to $425. That was an increase also. That was to repair the road. If you're honest with yourself, the road for the last 10 years up to today is one of the worst roads to drive on. The only road you can drive without a bump is the highway. All the roads have holes and need to be repaired. It was only about 2 months ago the minister decided he could do a crash program and drop a little bit of mile field. No mile, the other one I mixed up with the tar, put around the spot. The road had not been repaired. The condition of the road is stink. And you know that. You drive on it to do your work. So please remind the gentleman for me, money was raised for that purpose. I don't see where it went. That's all I have to say.
Down to brass tacks.
Hi, David.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
David, you sound like you got a frog in your throat.
Yeah, I can hear it myself.
I want to say to you, I just would like to go through some of the points raised in the manifesto. Sometimes moderators, and I'm speaking generally, think that, I don't know, I get the impression sometimes moderators, and I'm not speaking about you in particular, like to have their view, put across their view, and sometimes I wonder if the show is about the caller or the moderators. And the other thing is that it's not every point, like this morning you let three callers pass. Not everything that a caller raised, you have to comment on. It drags the, when I say you, I'm not meaning you, David. It drags the program, but this is for another discussion. I want us to have a kind of serious discussion about where we're going and the whole idea of informing and educating and entertaining the mandate of, you know, I just want to have a kind of sober discussion about that. But just this morning, I want to say, there's something raised by Ms. Motley last night. I was looking for it, but I'm looking at one particular page here on Barbados Today that I agree with, which is the, she talked, I don't have it to hand, but she talked about mortgages and having, looking at, working with the bank and looking at developing some policy on persons who suffer hardship and not having the bank repossess the homes, etc. I would like that to be expanded to hear exactly what she's saying, because at the end of the day, unless it will just be persuasive arguments that you're using unless legislation is passed, because the contract is between the lender and the borrower. And unless you have anything with teeth, then all that would happen is you would say, we would like to see this happen, but I think it is in the right direction. On the other hand, I agree with you. The LP meeting at Bay Street was a good meeting. The little bits I heard, two things they said, and again, I agree with you. They should have been rolling out some. They have done a lot, but people only hear the negative because the opposition has been promoting that. And the DLP fault is they have not been coming out and saying what they have done or defending.
But we said that from day one. When this election is over, I believe we'll have a good opportunity to review the pluses and the minuses. I can tell you, for instance, that I've discerned an attitude from the Democratic Labour Party that has injured their image. And it has to do, for instance, with, like, there are certain sections of the media, and perhaps, you know, you can make your own observation, certain sections of the media that the hierarchy of the Democratic Labour Party appears to despise.
Mm-hmm.
They have this view that as long as you don't sing their tune on everything, then you don't like them. So what they do is they say they're going to blank you, and they're going to find other means by which they will communicate with the public.
Yep.
But you know what happens? You still have a place there that, you know, there's an audience. And the critical point is that they ain't talking to you. They're talking to the audience.
Yeah.
So they need to take the opportunity and communicate with the audience. I mean, we've had it here with something like People's Parliament. I mean, the truth is, there's a major degree of disrespect that you feel. You're not just for you as the individual trying to work with them and reaching out to them, but disrespect to the public of this country. That is something that they really need to take seriously. And I've been around since the 1970s in this business, huh?
I know.
I have never, ever seen any political party operate in this way when it comes to public information. Sometimes they behave as though they couldn't care less. The people who occupy ministries and stuff, some have come, but some of them, you have never heard them come and sit down and talk with the public about anything serious. So that to me is obvious, but you go ahead.
Yeah, because I want to go through these things quickly, and so I know how it is sometimes. People think that you're on long, but we have to exchange ideas, so I don't have a problem not speaking and hearing you. But I think, as I said, you and I can discuss that after. What I would say about what you said is, David, and I'll just talk about it briefly because I don't want to go on. I noted what you've said, but I believe the Democratic Labour Party is not treated with the same respect as the Barbados Labour Party. Not only this administration.
Oh.
Well, it can be Mr. Eric Barrow, because he is in a
class. Where's the evidence of that?
But I'm not going to go off in it, because then I won't get to address the manifesto.
Yeah, because the truth of the matter...
We can always talk about
that. The truth of the matter is that I treat you the way I treat anybody else. If you make take a position...
Not me, I'm not the Democratic Labour Party.
No, you said that they have not been treated with the same respect. So where's the evidence?
You mean them. The perception. Perception is out there. So, but anyway, what I want to say about... You have discussed, and I know...
All I would say to you is there's another perception that they have not treated people with respect either.
Okay, fine. We leave that there. I have noted over the last 5 years, and especially within the last 2 to 3 years, you have spoken repeatedly about diversifying the economy. Persons have said, and I agree with them, that during the time when there was they had the elbow room, they had finances during the time of Mr. Onatus' administration, that should have been something undertaken at that time. The government and then went into a lot of construction projects, and people said to them, even the private sector complained that they're overheating the economy, etc. You have always said that this is what you feel we should be having discussion on. When I look at the Barbados Labour Party manifesto, I was looking to see the key areas that Ms. Motley would be addressing. And to be quite honest to you, in this caller's view, the Barbados Labour Party manifesto that Ms. Motley has laid out is the type of manifesto that you would have seen in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and in the 2000s, early 2000s.
Let me ask you something. I know how it is with you. You're now getting into your stride, but let me ask you something. In the 1970s, 80s, and 90s, was there any discussion about cryptocurrencies? I heard cryptocurrencies being mentioned yesterday and blockchain technology. That you didn't hear that? Did you?
You're ready for me to talk now?
Yes.
Oh. As I said, Miss Motley's manifesto, and I'm speaking specifically to the giveaways that she is highlighting that she would do, it does not reflect the current economic situation in my mind. That's the sort of manifesto you would have when you've had economic growth, your reserves are better. To me, the manifesto, and this is why I would have been really upset with the Democratic Labour Party, if they would have come with some pre-election budget with a lot of giveaways, because it would have been reckless on their part if they have done that. Luckily for them, they didn't go down that route. I think we are in serious times, and we should have been having serious discussion as where you're going to take the economy.
Ma'am, I really want to say to you that I took my time yesterday evening, last night, to listen in particular to Dr. Clyde Maskell speak on this issue. And I consider that it is very important for me to hear all the views on these issues before I come to this conclusion. For instance, there's been a lot of talk about the non-contributory pension, but I cannot come to a conclusion on this unless I hear the diverging views on it. And the similar thing with respect to the economy. So how on earth can you, on the basis of that which you have heard so far, you have to hear them, you have to hear the Democratic Labour Party as well.
Mr. Ellis, I am reading from their manifesto. I'm looking at Barbados Today online, an article, but there's no page on this particular thing. It says election manifesto.
So that, I am saying to you that I listened last night. Debt restructuring was one of the issues that was placed on the table. But they also indicated, and that's what I want to hear from them as well, like you, how are you going to fix this problem? Everybody knows Barbados is in a crisis. Democratic Labour Party, the opportunity as well, when they come with their ideas, whenever they come, to say, explain for us.
Speak to what they're reading then. You're saying you want to give them the opportunity. Fine, David Ellis wants to give them the opportunity.
Don't you?
All I want to do is to raise the policies, highlight a few policies, and to say to them, some need clarification, some I don't think might be worth.
What needs clarification?
It seems as though it is, and David, if you all don't want callers to bring.
No, we are engaged here because I am going to challenge you. I'm defending the Labour Party because I know, I understand clearly what your mission is, all right?
You could only put your biased view.
Hold on. Let's not both speak together. Let me say this to you. I've come here with the objective of trying to make sure that I don't give people unfair advantage against anyone. So if you come and you assert that policies need clarification, then it is only appropriate to ask you to specify which of the policies need clarification. I will not allow you to get away with what I don't allow anybody else to get away with.
But I ain't even state the policies that need clarification.
But I was asking you.
I ain't even state them because you notice when you speak, I stop. When I start speaking,
What are the policies that need clarification?
What are the policies that need clarification? All right, David, take your time. All I want to say is the whole question of foreign exchange and building the foreign reserves, increasing foreign exchange. The proposal given is that Barbadians who earn foreign exchange would be able to. She will ask them to keep the foreign currency accounts in local banks. I suppose this is as opposed to what is happening with where the central bank governor said persons are allowed to keep the foreign currency accounts overseas, and the arrangement and the understanding is if the government needs it, they bring it back. So there is nothing new that tells me it is dealing with the heart of the matter about increasing our foreign exchange earnings. Talking about inward investment, developing Heritage Bridgetown, that the Minister of Culture and Sports has been dealing with that. Heritage Bridgetown, Heritage Garrison. So what is, and
so
then
why you
talk
don't
about
go to,
other towns
why you don't,
special wh- economic zones. Well, what is going to be in these economic zones is what I want to know.
Fair enough. And that's the only point I want to make to you. That if you come to the position of saying, look, something needs to be clarified, then you got to specify what you're looking for. It is valid to ask the Barbados Labour Party, as it will be valid to ask the Democratic Labour Party, to spell out as much as possible what their policies are. I have no difficulty with that at all. But what I don't want to encourage is a broad approach which is taken sometimes by some people and then left to hang in the air. And it is just an attack rather than something of substance. And in that context, therefore, I say yes, it is valid to ask those questions. Okay? Thank you very much.